Welcome back. You're listening to the Guys on the Film Guys Talk Network. Brian, bring us back with a little Uncle Ted White Buffalo. Gotta love Ted, man. He was on the show about a month and a half ago. Actually, around the 1st of October, wasn't it, when we did the deer opener?
Yeah.
He was talking to us about that. And, boy, he's always just a treat to have on his show.
Well, it's deer season, so why wouldn't you have Uncle Ted on? And with the election and everything, he was so strong with the NRA, and you know, thankfully, NRA and the Second Amendment is protected now. But I put a post on with a bunch of those clips Mr. Fonger pulled out of there for us. So you can go to the Grilling Guys and look for the post that's got a picture of Uncle Ted on there, and you can re-listen to those. But I've got a couple gigs coming up that are pretty cool. One of them is I have to go out to Sacramento and do that food show again. So I'll be headed out there like mid-January, and I'll be cooking for, I think it's, I can't remember. It's one of the big chains doing a demo at a big show out there for a couple days. And I'm looking forward to that. The Boys in California, and what makes me think of it is I put tri-tip on the show plan here. The Boys in California are probably the biggest tri-tip fans you would ever see. That state is full of barbecue freaks, except they're more, they have a different, they're not Kansas City style guys necessarily. I'm not going to say there's any big brisket guys. They have their own thing. And you know that Fat Daddies who gave us all the spices for GI barbecue, He sells a lot of spices into California, and he has one called a Santa Fe, and I gave you one. It's the little white one, and it to me, that's a California blend of spices, and that's what he said he built it for. They just have a little different take on it, naturally, you know, regionality and all that, just like the Carolinas, but California and tri-tips, that the cows are not safe out there. I'm just going to say.
Especially those shoulder cuts, yeah. Exactly.
But the tri-tip's a great cold weather piece to do.
Why is that?
Because it's slow. You know, you're going to, and if you're grilling it, I'm talking about grilling because the average guy doesn't have a smoker, right?
Right.
So let's talk about grilling. And the tri-tip's something, I love Tommy and Johnny Brand's sizzlers because they make them out of tri-tip. Some people use ball tip. Well, ball tip's not nearly as good a piece as a tri-tip because it's just a cool piece of meat to grill. It's an odd shape, so it's like, you know, it looks like a B-2 bomber if you look at the thing. It's like a big flying wedge. It's a weird piece to put on the grill. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, for your best success, that long point on the end of it, when that part gets done, just lop it off and let the rest of it finish cooking.
Right.
And that's the chef's tip. And the chef gets to eat that while the rest is cooking. Because that'll be overdone if you wait for that piece to be done.
Yeah, it's about the size of a tennis ball on one end. It almost comes down to a point on the other. And the whole thing is maybe like 12, 14 inches long.
It's like a giant broadhead.
Right. And you're gonna get two and a half pounds out of one of these things is what they come in.
Right.
Your butcher, the better butcher shops all have them, and once in a while you'll find them in the grocery stores and things of that nature. There's not that much of it on each animal, so it's kind of a specialty cut, but it's worth it. Very, very, very flavorful.
When I was in Minnesota, and tri-tips vary greatly, but when I was in Minnesota, I went to this store because I was doing an event out there a month or so ago, and I bought a bunch of meat, and the guy, the butcher, we got to talking about the show and everything. He's a really good guy, and he says, "Hey, I got a bunch of tri-tip. You want some tri-tip?" And I go, "I don't know. You know, I've already got my basket full of meat." And he's going, "Well, I'm going to give you a deal. I'll give it to you for $6.99 a pound." And I go, "Yeah, let's see it." And he brings out a Cryovac, like 20-pound sack of it. And he goes, "How much you want?" And I go, "Well, how much for the whole thing?" He goes, "You want the whole thing? I'll let you have it for $5.99 a pound." I'm telling you, these were probably the nicest tri-tips I ever had. They had so much marbled fat in them, and that's the cool thing about that cut of meat. It doesn't have a fat ring around it like a T-bone or it doesn't have grizzle, doesn't have any of that stuff. It's all pure meat with this weird marbled fiber in it that if you cook it right,
slow.
Yeah, if you cook it right, it'll hydrate that meat just perfectly But you said it slow.
Yeah. So you're going to do that at a lower temperature, which is conducive to cooking in the cold, right? Because your grill's not going to get as hot anyway.
You might not have a choice.
Right, yeah. So, you know, you want to just put something on there that is the grill can still do its work, but if it takes a little bit longer, it's not going to dry out, and it's going to be, you're still going to get a great product. The next piece is a ground meat piece, but something that I think a lot of people overlook on the grill, and that is meatloaf, is that you can put it in a pan, you can wrap it in foil, you can do anything, but just a big loaf of ground meat. Now, you always doctor yours up with vegetables and
seasoning. I'll let my wife do it. Yeah, she, Maureen makes the killer. I just smoke it, but I use a pizza stone, and then all that grease, and I do it on my Kamado, and then all that grease just runs off of it. So you've got a really beautiful non-greasy piece of meat, because if you're using 80% lean burger,
right,
and we usually get you know, the certified Angus beef or something like that, if you're using CAB, there's not a ton of fat. It's 85, but right, that 15%, a bunch of that is going to turn into grease. If you're in a pan, it sits there and
kind of
swims
in
the grease.
It,
yeah.
It? Yeah,
yeah. So, and then the neat thing about doing it on the grill or a smoker is, if you put, like, she puts a sauce on it or ketchup or something mm-hmm. like that, then all that smoke collects on that, and it turns it into, like, a real cool smoky barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And I'll very often use a barbecue sauce on it. My mother used to put ketchup on it.
Now, do you do it at the beginning, or do you finish it with that
just
sauce?
Just right at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, which is different because
most
of the time we're recommending that you sauce at the end of the cook.
Yeah.
But in a meatloaf case, you want that right on there, almost like a cap on it, because it'll cook down and it'll get a little bit tacky.
And again, you know, we're talking about things that everybody can afford.
Right.
Who can't afford to make a meatloaf?
Right.
It's so stupid cheap. Another nice piece in the slow, cold weather is a loin.
Beef or pork?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Either one of them.
But pork is affordable.
Right, yeah. Yeah, those little pork loins that are about the big round as a tennis ball and maybe a foot long, those are a tenderloin. And then the pork loin is the one that's maybe as big as a softball and maybe a foot and a half long.
Well, they're actually like 3 feet long, but you're buying about a foot and a half long piece when you get them in the store.
Right. Yep, exactly. But the littler ones, those are kind of cool because you can buy them just raw, but you also, some of them come packaged with a marinade already on them. And I'm not a big fan of pre-marinated meat.
Those
usually
are an exception, though.
But those are exceptions. Yeah. That's exactly
that
right.
That lemon pepper version, the terry version.
Yeah, yep. And if you're really into the barbecue, a little bit of the mesquite and on there. But I like the lemon pepper. Is it? And they're a little pricey, but they're pure meat. You don't lose anything when you get one of those. And they cook up nice. You can slice them in medallions.
But the cheap deal is just a pork loin.
Right.
And
the big one.
Yeah.
Right.
You put your rub on that thing, put your fat side up, and protect it with some bacon. You could even put the fat side down if you're putting bacon on it, because then you're reducing more of the fat. But wrapping it in bacon and putting it on the grill and letting it go a long, long time, bring it up to 145 in the center, nail it, pull it off, cover it in foil, and park it for at least a half an hour.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's going to be a gorgeous piece when you're done with
it. And a couple things happen there. It draws the juices back in when you park it, but it also, that bacon's going to, as it cools, it's going to dry down a little bit, and you're going to get,
infusion.
It's going to tighten it up, and it's going to infuse that bacon flavor right on the surface. Man, that is a very good piece. Did we lose you, Brian? You over there, brother? Okay, I didn't know what was going on, but anyway.
A little inside radio here.
Right, yeah.
okay, little buddy?
Yeah, that pork loin, again, sliced. And the cool part about that is only slice off what you're going to eat and keep the chunk.
Absolutely.
Keep the chunk whole for the next meal or the leftovers.
Absolutely.
Because it'll
stay
moist that way.
It's like briskets the same way.
Right.
Don't go slicing the whole thing up because you will ruin it.
Right. You'll ruin the leftovers is what it is. If you're going to eat it, eat it. But, you know, if not, then do it that way. But anyway, coming up next, I bet you all had a little leftover from Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about what you can do with a little leftover yard bird.
It's Dutch oven time.
Stick with us. We'll be back.